The book of Jonah. We started some 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. And we are not at the end yet. So, seeing that they have merged a character study and a book study. That means while you're studying a person's character, their character basically is their book. You find the book of Esther is like that. Book of Nehemiah is like that. Ruth is like that. Where you're studying the book and you're studying the character. So it's a Duolingo. Right? Alright, so the book of Jonah. We said, was Jonah a known prophet? Eh? So while some will argue he's a minor prophet, I don't think so. We have been able to establish that while Elisha was the prophet of Israel, Jonah was the prophet in Judah. Right? Gath Ephah, remember? Remember, Abby? Uh-huh. So he was a known prophet who God has used for several assignments. But in Jonah 1, this is special. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah. So we said, again, if you're just joining us, we've been on this for, I think it's the third one now. Some of you are not used to me talking like this, so just manage it this morning. Alright, so we said, it doesn't matter what you've done for the Lord before. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah. Now. The chapter begins with a now. So the question is, now, what is God telling you? There are people who pride in, when we used to pray then. On campus. I remember, about some years ago, someone was talking to me, a very respected person. And he said, when we were on campus, we used to pray. And we used to do all of these things. And that was, my heart sunk. Because I felt, that's not a good thing to say. I want to be able to say it 30 years from now. I'm still doing God's will. I'm not a yesterday's man. My best years are not behind me. Amen. My years of serving the Lord, of listening for His voice, they are not behind me. I keep listening. I'm still that hungry boy. I'm still that little boy. I'm still that one who wants to hear and do His will. My heart is not hardened. I don't get wiser. I don't get wiser than the word. Amen. Amen. When it comes to the word, I'm always trailing, following in the name of the Lord Jesus. So we said, God has used Jonah. We saw it in the book of Kings, right? Right? Jonah, the son of Amittai. J-O. Amittai. And we have looked at the O part of it. J-O. If you're going to write it in initials. And we said, the word of God came unto Jonah, saying, arise, go to Nineveh. That great city, that's verse 2 now, Jonah 1, 2. For the cry has come upon to me. And we said, the book of Jonah is meant to end there. I mean, we are just meant to see, arise, go to Nineveh, and Jonah went to Nineveh. But no. In verse 3, Jonah rose up and flee unto Tarshish. Now, Nineveh is in the northeast. Tarshish is in the west. So, if it's Nigeria, you're going to be saying, so, look at the difference. So, for those of you who know your map, I think Chad is a country that borders us by the northeast, right? Right? Don't say yes, sir. In Europe. So, it's not like you know it. Give me a state in Nigeria at the northeast. Bono? Is it that northeast? Alright, so. Bono? Funny enough, I had a staff who schooled in Bono. So before, Brother David, where is Brother David? Okay, it's nice. It's a technical team. And so when he submitted his CV, I checked twice. I said, Bono? He said, yes. So, Bono to Lagos. I think Lagos is the most distant southwest. Right? Yeah. So look at that distance. God told Jonah to go to Bono. From Abuja, he went to Lagos. So it was a deliberate, intentional action to flee from God's presence. In fact, it was said in two places in verse 3. Jonah fled from the presence of God. In verse 3, look at it. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, went down to Joppa, he found a ship going to Tarshish, he paid the fare, went down into it, and to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord twice. So, we said, between verse 2 and verse 3, there's an unspoken, silent conversation that Jonah had with himself. And I taught this 3 years ago, silent conversations with Jonah. How many of you have listened to it now? Let me see your hands. Okay. If you have not, you go ahead and go listen to it again this week. I'm saying it again for the second time. How did we know that Jonah said something? In chapter 4. In Jonah 4, verse 1. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly and was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray you, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled unto Tarshish. Look at that. So he said, I said this in my heart when I was in my country. I said some things. Some things that were not written between verse 2 and verse 3. And we said, man is a product of his thoughts. I'll say it again. Man is a product of a reflection, or is a reflection of the summation of his thoughts. The scriptures will say, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So what will be my response to that? I guard my heart. Rather. If there is something you must master as a believer, is how to process your thoughts. You must be able to tell yourself the truth. Are you listening to me? Yeah, you're angry. Yeah, you're pissed off. You don't like what's going on. But you see, in those conversations in your heart, tell yourself the truth. I told you, some years ago, I went for a prayer meeting. I was dragged. So this is about 20, it should be 20 years, it should be about 20 years ago, 2019. So I was dragged. And I think it's 2019, I mean 20 or 19 years ago. 2019, I was already pastoring, yeah. And I must have shared the story before. So as they were praying, I just saw that like nobody's checking time here. What's going on? It's only the beginning that we knew. You know how I knew that we were going to spend a lot of time there? Everybody was just putting off slippers and removing wristwatch. What do you mean? Why are you removing wristwatch? What's going on here? Then they went to the wall clock. That's where myself and my friends got the idea. So they went to the wall clock and they brought it down, faced it down. I know what you are. So after about 3 hours, I had my wristwatch on. After about 3 hours or four, I said, God has heard my prayers. So I headed for the gate. When I got to the gate, the pedestrian gate, I was about to unhook it and then just leave. And so I thought to myself, I said, but they are still praying. A part of me said, and so? It's not like you have not prayed too. You have prayed. And I said, who am I helping by praying? So the answer came to me. I might like to deny it, but the answer came to me. Myself. If I pray, who gets better? Me. Not them. But those sometimes people look, they feel like when they walk out of the meeting, they are, and, but why did I, so I went back to the meeting, even though I didn't have energy to pray that long then. I sat, at some point I sat on the floor. But I will see when you finish. So the prayer started about 7:30 a.m., 8 a.m. ish, and finished about 6 p.m. But did I tell you I prayed throughout? No. But did I stay throughout? Yes. And I thank God I stayed because they now share Zobo. He says that it's even better than Glorious House Church. And you guys just say, we even end with prophecy instructions. They share Zobo. And bonds. You know those bonds that if you throw it at the wall, to come back to you. So I said, at least I got a bit of reward on earth for this prayer. Amen. But that was because I had a conversation with myself. Learn to have honest conversations with yourself. Nobody knows you like you. So we saw that Jonah is a reflection of conversations he had with himself. Conversations he had with himself. Why you're serving God the way you are, whether fervently or otherwise, is a result and a summation of your thoughts. Yeah. It first starts with, he doesn't pray. I've told you before, when the devil wants to work on a man, the first thing he takes away is his prayer time. So if you have observed yourself, and every time you want to pray, you yawn, there's a problem. Problem to what? Let nothing steal your prayer times. I pray for you that your prayer altar will keep burning. Amen. You see, even if it's 5 minutes in a day, ensure you pray. Prayer is not meant to be a last resort. It's meant to be the first aid. It's not when everything has now failed, I'll now go and start praying. No. When it happens, I pray. I pray for my ministry. I pray for my health. I pray for my family. Are you praying? So, we said, Tarshish does not happen in a day. A man first gets to Joppa. You see that guy that is addicted to drugs. I cannot live a day without it. He didn't start like that. Are you listening to me? To Joppa. See, I don't take it to be I take it to be happy. He said, there's one, they open side water. Side bottle. Because I remember there was a time like that in school. I had to take someone's water bottle. So I was testing, there was no water. It was doing house job. So I took the water. Ah, pastor. Madam. He says, it's not water. He says, it's not water. Oh. So the people around were laughing. I said, why are you laughing? You don't take water? He said, no, he has put something that makes him happy. He says, happy pill. I say, hey, that's interesting. Because I'm always happy. I take no pills for it. Amen. Why are you taking something to be happy? So he graduates. So I don't know whether that one is the graduation self. But he graduates. And then you see people literally injecting themselves. You're watching a documentary of a guy, an interview rather, and he was showing his legs and his hands, everything gone to bare bones. He has injected himself almost to death. Thank God for him now. He has been rehabilitated. But you see, with a broken tie. Amen. The flesh is gone. How many of you have seen the interview? Okay, good. Yes, sir. The flesh, the entire flesh is gone, everything. But you see, the first day, he didn't inject himself. It will start with, this medication just gives me energy. I don't want to mention names. I might not give you ideas. Hallelujah. It just gives me energy. When I take it, I feel alive. Almost you are alive already. So you watch for those little sins. Go and listen to that teaching. Little foxes. Every week we'll be giving teachings like that now. That's the way to go. I think I taught it 2021 or 2022. Beware of little foxes. I can still remember the cover is red like this. It has one square in the middle. Beware of little foxes. The little things, they make up the bigger things. Before a man will get to Tarshish, he will get to Joppa. Both are away from the presence of the Lord. Pastor, I'm not a prostitute. But you collect money from boys. He said they don't sleep with me. So what do they do? See, we only talk on chats. What do you talk about? GHC Media? No. What do you talk about? Say we send pictures. Joppa knew. He's not Tarshish yet. Nobody can accuse you have gotten to Tarshish. But you're already away from the presence of the Lord. It's gradual. City walls don't fall in a day. It's a slow fade. This morning, I want you to pray for yourself sincerely. God, help me to know when I'm in the wrong ship. Jonah took the wrong ship. Intentionally, albeit, but he took the wrong ship. Away from the presence of the Lord. We said, last week I gave different ships, right? Pastor Kumi said friendship, relationships that take a man, that serves as an hideout. You're in a relationship where the guy has said, you know, we don't do church. What do you mean you don't do church? And you're thinking you're going to change him. Unchangeable changer. You're not a serious person. Have you changed? If you have changed, you will not be in there. But you want to change the person. We don't do church. You have a friend, we don't do church. And that serves as your hideout. Away from what God said. Arise, go to Nineveh. That information is clear. It's not ambiguous. Go to Nineveh. What are you doing? What are you doing packing your bags going to Tarshish? And so we see that things don't just happen. They take steps. Gradual, little steps. And God is showing us with the life of Jonah. So he went away from the presence of the Lord. He paid the fare. In verse 4, God sent out a great wind into the sea. And the ship was broken. We have gone through all of this. So let me just walk you through the story. The wind came. The tempest was roaring. And Jonah was not even there. Where was he? Down in the ship where the luggages are. So maybe they were going through every seat. And they found a seat, 17A. By the aisle. Say, who does this seat belong to? J-O. Say, who is J-O? So they were looking for him. And then they went down. And they saw a man sleeping. Say sleeping. He said, Jonah knew that he was not meant to be there, so he even excused himself. When you're in the wrong company, sometimes you know. Have you ever felt odd in a place before? Just, you feel like the odd one out. I have. How many of you have that happened to you before? You know, you are somewhere and you say, oh God, what am I doing here? Sometimes not even the wrong thing. It's not club. I mean, not Chelsea club. Amen. It's not club. But I've been to some place before and I felt, I should not be here. There's absolutely nothing I'm doing here. Or you're in the place and you're looking around. What if pastor passes? Amen. Like some of you, you'll be hiding in shawarma spot. I used to see you. I just drive by. Goshola, are you there? I'm not saying him. But if you feel it's him, there's nothing I can say. Brother, no. Brother, Goshola. Do I have a ladder? Shawarma. Those are Shawarma prefect. Brother, I'm a ladder and the wife. Hallelujah. Who else? Today is the casting day. If I call by faith, will you believe? No. You will not. Don't change you. It's a good thing. Don't be like that, Mala. All right. But that's not a bad place. Amen. Except during fasting, I'm fast. 3 p.m. We now see you at shower. What are you doing there? Are you a delivery man? Child deck. But there are places where you feel out of place. Jonah felt like that in the ship. So he excused himself and went down. And then everybody started casting lots and say, why is this problem? They first threw their luggages into the sea, but the real cargo was Jonah. Amen. The real luggage was Jonah. It was too heavy for that ship. The anointing, the call of God, the plan of God was too heavy for that ship. And so when they found him, he said, who are you? Where are you from? What's your occupation? Different questions. Jonah said, which one should I answer first? I'm an Hebrew. And all this thing is happening. Not me. You see, my God made the sea. So, Jonah, what next? I thought Jonah would say, can you steer the ship to face Nineveh? You know, the wind would have stopped. God would have seen his heart and said, okay, now he's fulfilling my assignment. God's plan is you get to Nineveh by wind, by fish, by ship, by hair. Anyway, you must get to Nineveh. So if the ship had steered its course and changed the direction, but Jonah said, I would rather die. Throw me into the depth of the sea. Let whatever wants to happen, happen. That's why I put that initial O. J-O. Amitai. The O is Olori Kokun. Stubborn person. Prophet J-O. Amitai. He was bent on not going there. That whatever will happen should happen. Rather than these people will repent, I would rather die. But it does not take long for a man to realize that God is God. So let's go to where we stopped. Jonah 1 verse 17. Are you there now? So he said, throw me into the ship, to the sea. And they didn't want to throw him, no fairness to them. But when life is happening, they would rather lose one than lose everybody. So they threw him. In verse 17, and the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights. And something came to my heart. In verse 4 of Jonah, the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea. In verse 17, the Lord prepared a great fish. The wind obeyed him. The fish obeyed him. Only Jonah. Every of creation obeys God's voice. Sometimes you need to ask yourself, why not me? Only man. But fortunately for Jonah, as he was taking his own decision, God was taking his own too. And God said, my dear, for you, a real bastard. So God prepared a great fish. And he was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights. Chapter 2, verse 1. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. So when I read this some years ago, I started laughing. But that's after about the 18th time of reading it. About 18th, yeah. Because I marked it that year. You know why I laughed? They asked this guy to pray in the ship. He said, throw me out. That I will pray to that my God. Lie. Me and God, we have beef. But I've said, permit me to say it in Yoruba parlance. Tomode ba de biero, a rabba. When a child gets to where he's meant to fear is a good thing. If a child does not learn to fear, or a man does not learn to fear, he will see a lion and call it a cat. And we know how that ends. So fear makes him either flee or fight. You don't fight cats, you fight lions. Right? Why should you fight a cat? What's it going to do? Like all those Chelsea players. During the last season, I saw we were playing Chelsea. So one of their substitutes was doing like this on the touchline. I said, what's he going to do? I was jumping like he was going to score like 4 goals. You're still going to lose. Amen. Meow, meow. What's he going to do? There's one they call kittens. Okay, call it kittens. It's a cat. What's he going to do? Is he going to score 4 goals? If you see the way he was doing. Checking boots. I said, oh God. Losers medal. Hallelujah. Prophet is going to take this off again. There's a group you will go and post this. If I see any post today, I will remove you. Brewer, please take note on that group. Amen. Where was I before the devil interrupted? Fear is a good thing. So Jonah, now he knows that the robbers hit the road. He was not in the belly of the fish for 2 hours. 3 days. Whatever smell is in the belly of the fish, Jonah had the right aromatherapy. He was in the water, but he was sweating. He was inside the ocean, but he was thirsty. God can do that. I say it again. God can do that. You can't run from the presence of God. God told Paul, it's hard to kick against the pricks. You know what that means? Let me give you the etymology of that phrase. Etymology means the source, the root. So, you know ox animals, right? So when they want to control them, they can add like a blade to a stick, right? And because the animals like to kick, so what they do is that they position in the way that when the animal wants to kick the shepherd, he kicks himself. So they add the blade so that next time you will not kick. So it's to control kicks. So the more the animal kicks, he's inflicting wound on himself. Is it making sense? So when Jesus told Paul, it's hard to kick in the business, this thing you are doing, you are just ruining yourself. The harder you fight against God, the harder a man self ruins himself. He is God. There's nothing any of us can do about that. He is the Almighty God. Sometimes we don't realize who God is. Do you understand? I'm going to run away from the presence of God. And maybe some of us have tried it or are still trying it. Silent conversations. There are some things you have said in your heart. I'm not even going to be serious with anything. This life is more than church. This life is more than this Jesus thing. But it's hard to kick against the pricks. Don't inflict wound on yourself. Jonah now is praying. But you know, apart from the laughter, something humbled me. That God is a gracious God. He didn't close the window of heaven or the door of heaven to him. Chapter 2, verse 1. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord out of the fish's belly and said, I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell I cried, and he heard my voice. I love that. He equates his experience with hell. So we might never know what he saw. unsaid words or unsaid chapters by Jonah. We might never know what he saw. But when Jonah was going to write, he said, out of the belly of hell. Imagine being inside water and calling it air. It was that serious. But you know the most important phrase? He said, he heard me. Say, he heard me. So it means there's no how far a man can go that God is still not willing to hear him. Say, Pastor, I've gone so far. The things I have done in this life, the things I have said against God, the things I have undone. God can still hear you. See, out of the belly of the of hell, you heard my voice. God is still waiting. Arms open wide. Doesn't matter what you feel is the depth of your sinfulness. There is no sin that was not nailed on the cross. There's none. What is man? That you're mindful of him. The Son of Man that you visit him. By God's grace. We'll take a teaching on that. Pretty soon, by God's grace. What is man? See, God sees your weakness and he helps you out. Sometimes you overreach yourself. I mean too. And we think, maybe in our perfection and righteousness, we can make God happy. Ooh, listen to me. God sees you just the way you are. And you're not smelling to him. And he doesn't see a sinner. But you've got to do what Jonah did. Pray to him. Say, from the belly of the fish. That means there's nowhere God cannot hear you from. From the belly of air. Pastor, I've committed like 10 abortions. From the belly of air. There's nowhere he can't hear you from. Are you listening to me? One of the deceptions of the devil is to make you think you have gone too far. But Calvary is Father. Jesus paid the ultimate price. There is nothing you want to do or that a man will do in this world that cannot receive forgiveness of sin. We didn't see Jonah praying in chapter 1. We only saw him running and sleeping. But now he's praying. You can pray from anywhere. Don't be part of the generation that say, I will pray. So when will you pray? Because will is future. We're watching TV yesterday. So he's a comedian. So someone came to his church, the pastor. Is this Willie Agba? Someone came to church to pray. You know this prophet that stays in church and then the altar is their altar. I know. So the person went to the and said, I will pray. So he was looking at him. And the person said, I will pray. I said, but I'll never pray. He said, I'm seeing vision now. The devil is about to smack your head. And you are still singing, I will pray. Start praying. So instead of him to start praying, I said, I'm a fire, I'm a thunder, I'm a king. Yeah, you see this one. The condo is close to your head. You are still singing, I will pray. Pray. Pray from anywhere. Pray with that same consciousness. Yes, you feel guilty. Pray. Don't wait till you feel better. Don't say, when everything is clear for my mind. No, start praying. I'm sorry, Lord. Strengthen me with your strength. I'm a mortal man. Strength is not enough. Help me with the strength of eternity. You know what David said? He said, take not your spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Renew a right spirit within me. Psalm 51. What happened? He just finished killing a man's wife. A woman's husband. Slept with the wife, killed the husband. But rather start feeling sorry. And start feeling, God has rejected me. Run to Calvary. I love that Gomwe song. I trade his ashes in for beauty and wear forgiveness like a crown. Coming to kiss the feet of mercy, I lay every burden. Amen. At the foot of the cross, lay every burden down. Don't wait till, when it clears from my mind. Jonah realized that God still hears prayers, even from the belly of the fish. Are you with me? Verse 3. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed round about me, your billows. Yeah. So suddenly you realize that it was not the mariners that put him into the sea. He says, God. That's revelation. He says, it's not the mariners. God, I see your hand. You are the one that did this. So you have cast me into the belly of the sea. Verse 4. Then I said, I am cast out of your sight. Yet I will look again towards your holy temple. Look up, believers. Verse 4 must always be your response when sin knocks. Are you listening to me? Never look away from the temple. Say, why were you not in church? Pastor, there are some things I did that there's no way I will come to church. No, that's more reason you should be in church. Amen. You go to the hospital when you're sick. See, why did you not go to the hospital? See, I was so sick. There was nowhere I was going. No, that's why you should be in the hospital. Imagine the doctor asking you, why are you here? You are too sick. So, why are you trained? You go to the bedroom because you're dirty. If your body was always clean, there's no point going to the bedroom. And by the way, why are towels always dirty? Even though we use them after we are done bathing. Story for another day. Amen. Because if I'm clean, why is the towel dirty? Say, is the body, is the volume. Scientist. Let us shine. Hallelujah. Jonah said, I know I'm cast away from your sight, but I will look towards the temple. I'm telling you this morning, look towards the temple. Don't ever let anything steal your gaze away from God's presence. You know the reason why you should lift your hands and sing? Yes, because you sin. Yes. Those who are perfect don't need mercy. Mercy is for mortal men. God's grace is for me and you. It's not for Jesus. It's for you. It's for me. We are the ones that need it. We are the ones that err. We are the ones that fall into errors and have several faults. He's the awesome God. I'm a mortal man. You must realize that. As long as this body of flesh is there, you will make mistakes. I'm not saying make your life full of mistakes. I mean, to happen. Slip of tongue. Moment of anger where you just feel rage. Then after yourself, I walk in the spirit. Yeah. But let nothing now take you away from God's presence. And I feel I'm too dirty. I can't do it. Yeah, Pastor. Pastor, if you know me. Jonah said, yet again I'll look towards your temple. It's showing you. You must listen, look up, everybody. Before the devil can get you, let him walk. It will take a lot to see your end. Be resilient by the Spirit of God. Resilience means a never dying, never giving up attitude. You know how many times David ate? What about Solomon? But one thing is common with those who stay with God. They see his grace, not their own weakness. You must see it. Jonah did not say, I have fled from God's presence, so I will not bother again. No. He said, yeah, I might be cast out of your sight, but my eyes are fixed on your temple. I know you do it for me again. I know you restore. I know you redeem. That's who you are. And so I'll receive of your grace. So I'll receive of your mercy. And I'll be whole again. I'll be clean again. You know what God told Isaiah? He said, let these people call unto me now. Even though their sin is red as crimson. Or as red as scarlet. I'll make it as white as snow. Isaiah 1:18. Meaning that God doesn't see what you see things the way you see it. Even if you call to him from the belly of hell, he will listen to you. Are you listening to me? You have not gone too far. You have not. There's still chance to turn back. Verse 5. The waters compassed about me, even to the soul. The dead closed me round about. The weeds right above my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet you have brought me up. You have brought up my life from corruption. O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer came into thee, into your holy temple. Can we verse 8 together? No, I'll wait for everybody. Everybody, want to go? They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. Amen. And I'll stay on this for a bit. They that observe lying vanities. So I wrote out okay, let me just read NIV. And I put it this way. Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could have been theirs. I'll read it again. Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could have been theirs. So, confession by Jonah. You know, I've seen silent conversations. This one is an open confession by Jonah. You know what John is saying here? I was clinging to idols. He says, those who cling to worthless idols, they forfeit the grace that would have been theirs. Those who observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. So there was something that was making him run. We can't see it. We said he had conversations. Well, conversations don't just start. Something prompts them. Come on. Right? So, if I'm thinking I'll not go to a party. So, for example, when I got into university, I made up my mind that I would never attend any party. Any. Which I almost did. I almost fulfilled it. But I attended the birthday party of my then fellowship vice president. So I flouted my role. But what I meant by party was, you understand what I mean? Departmental party. I'm not saying you should do that. It was my own conviction, my own consecration. Is it making sense? I'm not saying you don't know how to do FYB, YBC, which one do you call it? Anyone, any Y. But that was mine. I recall at some point people don't bother inviting me for parties. I mean, it was hostel room party. You know what now strength conviction? More. There was one party they wanted to give me a cake that has already been laced with what do you call it? Is it wheat? Brownie. Yeah, thank you. He knows a lot about it. He's a Chelsea fan. That's what they do. They already did a lot of things on that. And intentionally, I was going to be a recipient. Intentionally. They wanted to see me in full flow, in full color. And it would have been dramatic, man. Yeah, I was shouting, up gunners. Ah, what an embarrassment. I watched a video. Facebook, not 13 years ago. I'll be shouting, dialect of the prophet. Because basically, they are like to do things like, I know if you check in deep, you are going to see the word and you are going to see Arsenal. Sincerely, I will not lie about it. You are going to see Arsenal. There is no way you tap into my subconsciousness and you don't see that club. And you don't see the word. Amen. Pastor Scanner, Arsenal. And I got that now reminded me again of you said you're not going to attend any party. Thank God I did not eat it. We had another person who ate it to the glory of the devil. Because it was not to the glory of God. It was also a pastor on campus. It was shameful. And you can't blame him. You are just trying to felicitate with people, right? And then they had other plans. The lady that their drinks have been laced with what they call it? There's this chemical. It was raining at some point. They put it in the lady's drink. And God has warned the lady now. Don't go. Those who cling to worthless idols. Jonah says, they forsake a grace that would have been theirs. What is Jonah saying? I think one day we'll just look at Jonah 2:8 alone. And I will be able to say a lot of things that are on my heart. Those who observe lying vanities. Jonah says, there are things that are lying vanities. You might not see it, but Jonah eventually saw it. Albeit in the belly of hell. He says, then a man will look back and say, that was worthless. Was that what I was living for? You know what I'm saying? The trouble in my life right now is because I was paying regard to vanities. What are the things that you are clinging to? Some, money is everything to them. Whatever can bring money takes them away from God. God care. Give me money. Ye may go. Banikudi. Fumilo. In your language, what will it be? You don't know. Jesus. Not you. I've said your own language. Who is from another tribe that is not Yoruba or Igbo? Or what's it? Give me money in your language. Eh? Soganam. Mm-hmm. Soganam. Any other person? Eh? Don't call me. Uh-huh. Any other language? That's Igala, Abi. Ah. Okay. Huh? Why don't you want to talk before? Nomi Oku. Eh? Oku. Ha. One Nigeria. Hallelujah. Jonah was saying that. Rather than go to Nineveh. Give me money. Some will say, no, I can't let go of my friends. I've known them for years. We drink together. We party together. No one is saying that. But if that's what you're clinging to, it says those who cling to worthless idols. Idols in 2026 is not a graven image. Idols are in Tarshish. You start purchasing from Joppa. Idol is anything that takes the place of God. Sometimes we don't even know we started worshiping them. An idol can be my comfort. Anything that takes away my convenience. Mm-mm. That takes away my sleep. That takes away my food. That takes away anything that makes me comfortable. I'm not going to do it. It's an idol. Whatever God cannot seize, and you will not frown. And when God takes it away, you frown. It's an idol. Those who cling on to idols, they forsake grace. They forsake their own mercy. That's not you in the name of Jesus. Because it's deeper than I'm saying it. In verse 9, he said, but I will sacrifice unto you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that which I vow, salvation of the Lord. And the Lord spoke unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon dry land. Amen. What is God's response to his prayer? God answered it. He answers prayers. And maybe in the world today, there are many things being said about God. Believer, I tell you one thing for free. He is the God that answers prayers. So don't think you have gone too far. Don't think, Pastor, it's not me. Maybe my children. No. It's for you and for your household. The grace of the living God. Don't forsake it. It's time to return. If you have found yourself in the wrong place, in the belly of hell, you can still reclaim mercy. Forsake those idols. Check your heart. Check your heart. John will write to the church, say, my little children, beware of idols. Check your heart. That there is no secret throne. For some, it's relationships. You're not even married. You just want a girl like that. It's taking your heart. And it's a good thing. It's a good thing to know, to love. You know? But is it an idol already? See, when I pray, it's you I see. When I sleep, it's you I see. That eyes on you. That's a sickness. When I'm eating, I see you. There's a problem. You think it's love. There's a problem. It's you I see. It's you I see. They want to use you. In my sleep, it's you I see. No wonder you're not having good night rest. That's an idol. In the purchase of money, you have let go. There are a lot of things you used to do for God. No more. Your prayer times, no more. You don't have time to reflect on God's word and meditate on it. I told you, the God's word that you are hearing now is not what blesses you. It's the one you meditate upon. Like a ruminant animal. When you now regurgitate and start chewing again, that's where the nutrition is. Not at the first eating. I've told you, you must learn to do like a sheep because the Lord is your shepherd. Sheep, when they eat, that's not where they get nutrition from. It settles, then they bring it up again. Then they start to chewing. That's when it now nutrifies their body. When last did you sit down to meditate on God's word? You don't have devotionals, you don't have private times with God. But if there's a Champions League match now today, you are there. But if football is stealing God's place, there are people that don't come to church on the night of Champions, or the Champions League. It's midweek service, you will not come. Yeah. I will not look at you. Because of match. That's an idol already. You might not know it. I love Arsenal so much. And all of you know it. But you know very well. At that time I just said, even the Champions League final, when I was in church, you saw me. As much as I love, I had things to do. And I was in church. And that's a club I love. It's not like I will not see the score. And when I want to watch the match again, I can go back and watch the match. I said, it will not be in that real time. And so what? The one they play in real time 1998, how did they affect my life? I think you don't have a good reality of your life. The moment you have a reality, you know that sport is sport. Amen. It's for entertainment. The players will collect salary. The ones that lost the final, they collect their salary the next day. Me, I will not be crying in Nigeria. Some possession. That's the idol. You want to get everything you desire. That doesn't happen in life. Nobody gets everything they desire. Even the richest man. You can't make acquisition an idol. Serve God with your heart. Believe in his plans and follow through. Don't let an idol exist in your heart. Don't have a secret throne. Jonah says, those who observe lying vanities, those who cling on to idols, they forsake God's mercy. I don't forsake God's mercy. Pray for master close. So, Jonah chapter 2 is a chapter of God's grace. It shows us that no matter how far gone a man is, God can still hear him. I say God can still hear him. I say God can still hear him. Say, Pastor, I drink a lot, and, you know, I do this a lot and all of that. Sometimes I feel like I'm pretending. And see, it's good that you're feeling it. Because if you do the wrong things and you don't feel it, that's even worse. That you are feeling it and you're feeling guilty is a symbol that God's grace is still with you. A leper does not feel fire on his skin. Because leprosy takes away that sensation. It shows that the situation is dead. But if they put fire to your skin and you do like this, it's a good thing. So next time you feel guilty, thank God for it. I can still feel it. You know, there are people who kill other people in the name of religion and they don't feel a thing. There are people who do things that normally, usually, they were convinced against and they don't feel it. Now they don't feel it anymore. So if you feel it, thank God for it. Are you listening to me? And retrace your step. Like Jonah. Rixi. So I'll close with this. What are you getting onto? See, in whatever situation you are in, don't wear a new costume. Sometimes what people do, young believers like us, what we do is, I do something that I know is against God's plan and God's will for my life. So I try to wear a new costume on Sunday. There's a song I love so much, Casting Crowns. Moyo, what's that song again? Oh, is Moyo here? Oh, he's downstairs. She's downstairs. Like that. Okay. So there's a song I played for them when we were teenagers in teenage church. It's Casting Crowns. And he said, so we come to church with painted grains. Yeah. Masquerade. Something masquerade. I forgot the song. So Casting Crowns is one of my favorite band. He said, so we come to church. We lift up holy hands with a painted grin on our face. Meanwhile, it's a masquerade. Everybody lifts holy hands. We smile. We welcome each other to church. And we say, bless you, sister. Bless you, brother. Remove the costume. Let God see who you are. Like Jonah, cry to him. If you cry to him, he hear you. He said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and call upon me, I will hear him. I will hear them and I will heal their land. Chronicles. If my people will call unto me. In Exodus 2, verse 23, 24, 25, said Israel cried out unto the Lord and God heard them because they were in a great bondage. God heard them. So will you cry to him? Don't wear any costume. Don't try to blend in. That's why you should have friends. Friends who are also on the course serving the Lord. Friends that you can tell, I've messed up. Are you listening to me? Friends don't have to be age mate. Because when people say friends these days, yeah. Friend can be someone younger than you. Friend can be someone older than you. Friendship means we have the same values. The same ideals. We see the world the same place, the same way. We have the same world view. Are you listening to me? Have good friends that can hold your hands even when you're down and tell you, no, we are serving the Lord together. No, we are serving the Lord together. You're not falling by the wayside. No, you're not. You're not going to live like a vapor in the wind. No. Together, hand in hand. When I'm down, you're up. When I'm up, you're down. Or we are helped together. Amen. But we're ensured together we'll serve Jesus. Those are friends. Friends, you can't wear costumes around them. They see through you. Our friends. Good friends. So that you don't forsake the grace of God that could have been yours. Those who observe lying vanities, they forsake their own mercy. Like Jonah, God sent the wind. To you, he's sending a message. But you can do both. Selah. He can run with the wind. He can run with fire. He can run with anything. He can do anything, is God. Are you listening to me? It's time to take a reflection. As I'm telling you, I'm also talking to myself. I've told you before that you're preaching something doesn't mean it's not for you too. Because the wheat and the tares can grow together.
they can grow together. So you gotta take note. As I'm taking note now, is there any idol you're clinging to? Things that form strongholds in your heart now. They don't used to matter before, but now it's a big deal. They've taken your prayer from you. They've taken sacred moments from you. Sacred values from you. It's now a stronghold. Yeah, you want to get married and all that, but why suddenly that young man is stronghold? Why suddenly that young lady is stronghold? Or is he your wife? Is he your husband? And Jesus is saying, am I not worth it? I'm worth more than it all. So this morning we receive mercy. No need to pretend. Just cry out to him. We receive mercy and genuine restoration. Our first love, our love for the Lord, restored this morning. And we receive the grace that is ours. You want to pray? Huh? Remove the costume. Remove the masquerade. Remove it. Just go to God. Like Jonah. From the belly of the fish. Yeah, you've gone to Joppa. Yeah, you've gone to Tarshish. But now you're here. I'll look towards the temple. Pray for yourself. Help me, Lord Jesus. You see through me. You see me. You see me early in the morning. You see me late at night. You see the corners of my heart. And I trust that only you can restore. You are the Redeemer. You are the Restorer. If you did with David and Jonah, then you can do with me. Bring me to my knees and show me who you are.